It's Tuesday night, Jaguars fans. Time for the Jaguars Coaches Show.
Jaguars Coaches Show.
With your host, play-by-play man Brian Sexton, and the head coach of your Jacksonville Jaguars, Mel Tucker.
Mel Tucker.
The Jaguars Coaches Show is brought to you by Sonny's Real Fit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Jaguars Coaches Show. I'm Brian Sexton, joined by Jaguars head coach Mel Tucker. And that long, crazy season is over. And it's funny. I mean, even though it was a very difficult season, most of the players who finished up here today with their exit interviews were sad. They didn't want it to end. I mean, they felt like they had something rolling over the last 5 weeks with your leadership, Mel, and I think that says a lot about what you and that staff have been able to accomplish since the 1st of December.
Yeah, it has been a wild ride, but I will say this. It was a pleasure to work with the players in the role that I had the last five games. In some ways, I told the players this after the Indy game. I felt like wish we had 15 more. It was that type of feeling, but I think that's good. You know, we don't have 15 more. It's over at this point, but we did finish on a high note. And like I told the guys in the locker room after the game, we're undefeated in 2012.
That's a great way to be. You know, I don't know, Coach, if most people understand how fast the season moves. Not ends, but moves. And then all of a sudden, bam, it stops. Now, I mean, there'll be some games and some things picking up, the All-Star games and the process of evaluating free agents and all of those things. But for coaches and players in particular, it stops on a dime. That's kind of culture shock. What do your wives and children think all of a sudden? Not your wives, but the wives of coaches, yeah, and players and children. Boy, all of a sudden you're home.
Yes, it's a different type of lifestyle. You know, you have your in-season lifestyle, and then you have your out-of-season lifestyle. And so it's really, you know, you flip the switch, so to speak, with that. But that's the one thing about the NFL. You know, you don't have that many opportunities to play games, the games that count.
Right.
And so you work, you know, all year round, all out of season, and then during mini camps and training camps, things like that, for those 16 guaranteed opportunities, you know, for a chance to get into the playoffs and make a run and win a championship. And so, you know, the stakes are very, very high. And each opportunity has huge implications and ramifications. So that's why I think the NFL is the most popular brand in America.
And maybe the world.
355-NFL-1,
800-355-6351. You know, one guy who probably, from a physical standpoint, was glad to see it end was Maurice Jones-Drew. I mean, you couldn't have handed him the ball anymore, Coach. I mean, He didn't set a franchise record. He came up a couple of carries short of that. But he touched the ball, 342 times this year? Carried the ball 342 times, touched it more than 380 times. I think 386 was the final number there. How did he do it?
Well, MJD.
Because he delivers the blow, kind of like Earl Campbell.
Yeah. He's a special player, and he plays the game a certain way. I mean, he's relentless. You know, he's a punisher, but he can make you miss. He can do it all. You know, when you hand the ball to him, you know exactly what you're going to get. He's got great hands out of the backfield. So, you know, he's the type of player that you want to try to get him the ball as much as possible. And then you always want to see, you know, you always want to evaluate and determine, you know, who are our best players and who are our weapons and who we need to get the ball to. And obviously MJD is one of the best players in the league.
As the head coach, and I know – you know, you saw the players today. Gene sees the players. What do you tell a guy like that? I mean, how do you challenge a guy like that to be even better? Or do you tell him, hey, sit down and relax for a couple of weeks. Let that body heal.
Well, Maurice, anytime you talk to him, at some point in time, you're going to end up talking about winning a championship. And the conversation always goes there because that's what he's all about. I mean, he wants it really bad. And he wants it for this football team. And so, you know, it's all about how do we get there? What do we need to do? This is what I think, you know, I can do. This is how I can help. This is how I can be better in terms of winning a championship. And that's, you know, that's kind of how our conversation ended today.
Yeah, I don't need to say anything because the listeners know this. You know this. The players know this. You can't pay enough to have that kind of a guy in your locker room. I mean, Maurice's agent loves to hear that, obviously. But, I mean, you got to have that presence. And you need more than one guy. But to have one in there is a remarkable thing.
It's tremendous. And those are the type of guys you need to have on your team and your locker room, promoting the message. And he knows what it's all about. And that's not going to change with him. He's not going to adjust his standard in terms of what is this thing all about? Why am I playing this game? What's important to me? And he wants that for himself. He wants that for this team. And as you can see by the way he plays, he's willing to do anything to get that done.
Well, and the thing that it's just remarkable, because I talk to him all the time. I say, how do you do it? How do you do it? He says, stop asking me that. Because I don't worry about it. And I said, you know, it's because I enjoy watching you run, and I know your value to the team, and I worry that you carry the ball this much with that kind of force in too many times in a season, we're not going to get as many seasons. He goes, I don't play that way. I can't think that way. Every time you want to give me the ball, I want to take it, because it can end in one play, or it can go a whole lot longer. I mean, Emmett Smith is a great example of a guy who got so much more out of his body than most people thought he would. And so Maurice's approach to it is the right approach, and that is just give me the ball and let's go.
No, I agree. I mean, there's really only one way to play this game. And again, there's no guarantees. You never know when it's going to end, how long you can play, how long you can go. But he has a tremendous opportunity. You know, he's in the National Football League. He's playing at the highest level. He's the best of the best. He plays in the moment. And I think that's very important.
What a moment it was on Sunday. 173 total yards, 169 on the ground. We had him on All Access last night over on CBS 47, and he was, of course, lamenting the fact that he got chased down from behind. His promise is to get on the track this year and improve his speed. That is amazing.
It is amazing, and whatever he says he's going to do, I'll take him at his word. No doubt about that.
Yeah, you know, all I want to know is, did you get enough rest in the offseason? I don't know about the knee and that. Just did you sleep at all, right? Of course, he's got three kids, so probably not that much. We'll take a break. We'll come back. If you'd like to talk to the coach, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. You can tweet me, at Jags Voice, and I'll certainly pass your thoughts along via Twitter to Coach Tucker. And we return with more after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. And welcome back. This is the Jaguars Coaches Show. I'm Brian Sexton, along with head coach Mel Tucker. All right, so here's the question everyone wants to know. Have you had your interview? Do you get a formal interview, or was the last 5 weeks your formal interview?
The last 5 weeks was part of an interview,
okay.
I believe. I have not had a formal interview yet, but I will have one in the upcoming days.
Right. The process obviously will start in earnest tomorrow. I don't know whether the process starts tomorrow. Tomorrow is when Mr. Khan takes ownership of the franchise, and so obviously that being the number one priority, you would expect that one goes along. From your own personal perspective, and we haven't talked much about this, how was the experience of taking over? You know, you had a little bit longer week. Of course, you didn't know it was coming. It was kind of a bolt out of the blue. And then, you know, from that point to here, is it a whole book or just a couple of chapters in your autobiography?
Well, I mean, I could write an entire book about this season, and obviously,
I won't ask you the title.
I could probably write an entire book about the last five games. I mean, it was there's a lot that goes on, a lot that you see on the field, and a lot of things you don't see that happen behind the scenes on a daily basis. I didn't have to do it alone. I had the staff work well with me. The players were great. You know, I had to, you know, set the environment and lay out the expectation, and in doing that, the players responded, and we were able to go to work and work to improve, and that's what it's all about. We had to play games. We're preparing to play games and preparing to win games, and in order to win games, we had to improve as a football team, and so, you know, that was the focus, improving, you know, on and off the field and improving the execution in the game. So, you know, that was the goal, and so everything that we did was – was focused and on winning.
When you talked about Maurice Jones-Drew, you talked about how he's all about the championship. That's what he's focused on. He's a football player. That's the end result. As a coach, the end result, I would imagine, would be to be a head coach. And so had you been preparing for that, you know, every stop along the way, LSU, you know, Wisconsin when you were a player there, you know, with Romeo in Cleveland, I mean, was every step a building block? And was it like going from that back seat, you know, all the way to the front seat and the driver's seat? I mean, were you prepared for that?
Yeah, everything that I've experienced in my life, you know, helped to prepare me for this opportunity. You know, whether it was in sports or outside of sports, because really you draw on every experience, and you need everything when you get to this point. And so, I paid close, very, very close attention to all of the coaches that I had growing up, and in high school and college. And I paid very close attention to all the coaches that I worked for and worked with these last 15 years. And so I felt like I was prepared to step in and do what needed to be done.
And obviously you got it there. At the end of the season, you had a couple big wins there and a close one in Tennessee. And the thing that stood out the most, and if you listen to the players, it was the structure. Players crave that structure. I mean, even the guys that claim they don't. I mean, you want to be able to come in every day and know what it's all about and be able to know exactly what you're doing that day.
Yeah,
I mean, those little things, the fine-tuning is what's the important part.
I agree. I mean, the attention to detail is huge.
That's the right phrase.
The margins in the NFL are slim. And so the difference between being average and being good, being great, the difference is very, very small. So, you know, how do you gain the edge? You know, how do you win? It's the attention to detail. It's the discipline. It's the little things.
Hopefully, you'll never have to go through it again. But what was it like when you kept putting cornerbacks and safeties on injured reserve? I mean, and you've got guys at one point on Sunday against the Colts. 34 makes a play on special teams, and I almost said Richard Murphy, who was the running back who wore that number at the start of the season. And then I almost had T.J. Heath, who was the undrafted rookie who was promoted from the practice squad. And finally I had to look down and see who it was. It was McBride, who had just come in this week. I mean, it was preposterous. And we now know that the numbers of players that you put on injured reserve this year here in Jacksonville, you know, were of historic proportions. If you just would take us back through, I mean, how did you approach that in your meetings when you have all these new guys who have to play?
Well, I haven't experienced anything quite like this before in terms of numbers, but I have been a part of seasons in teams where, you know, you guys went down and you end up, you know, going deep into the roster for starters. And so I think we prepared the guys, you know, from day one. I know that we made sure that we told them. They heard it from me. You know, we trust the evaluation process with Gene Smith and his staff. So if you're here, if you make your way into this building, that means you can play. So get yourself ready to contribute. Compete in practice. Learn what to do. We'll get you ready. We'll find out what you can do, and then be ready for an opportunity. And we always tell guys, every guy has a role, and the role is significant, whatever it is. So be ready to step up. So as guys go down, then, hey, we talked about this. You've been preparing in practice. You've been in all the meetings. You know what to do. Okay, now's your opportunity to step up. We're counting on you. We expect no drop-off. And so that's the mentality, but that's the way the program is set up. And I've told Gene time and time again, whoever shows up on the grass, we're going to coach them. As long as they make it here, if they're here, we think they can play.
You can work with them.
We can work with them. So let's go.
Well, it had to be, you know, it had to be a great learning experience for a lot of different people, and the kind of thing that you can always draw from. That is where you do some of your best work in the pressure situations. And you finished sixth overall in defense in terms of yards. And looking at it, that's out of fifth place, the Jets beat you by 0.9 of a yard. So, I mean, you finished essentially as a top five defense. And congratulations goes out to all your coaching staff there who had to work so hard.
Yeah, the coaches did a great job. You know, every coach involved, and good players make you a good coach. And so, you know, my hat's off to all the players that contributed to that. You know, I always talked in recruiting when I was in college that we need to recruit players that can rise above coaching. And I jokingly talked to players about that all the time. Hey, we need guys that can rise above coaching. Right. And so we have guys like that. I mean, Daryl Smith and Paul and guys like that, you know, Mincy, you know, Rasheem Mathis, those guys, DeJuan Lang, those guys can rise above coaching, and that's what we ask them to do.
Well, Joe rises above Loggy and I every Sunday, so it takes a great producer. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. We break and return with more with head coach Mel Tucker on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Jaguars Coaches Show. Brian Sexton along with Jaguars coach Mel Tucker. And we'll take your comments, your calls, your questions. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Of course, you can tweet to me, and I will pass the thoughts along to the coach at Jags Voice. Get that there. Jeff is up first this evening from Orange Park. Jeff, you're on with Mel Tucker. Good evening.
Hey, how you doing, Coach?
I'm doing good, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing very well, man. Just driving home from work. I wanted to ask you a quick question.
Sure.
And, you know, actually, I grew up a Lions fan, so I do understand that, you know, taking over a program that's not, you know, that getting to win, it does take some time. And I guess my question for you was, now that you've gotten your hands a little bit on the offense, if you felt, you know, coming up with the draft time, that it was actually time to maybe target the receiving core. I mean, you guys, like you said, your top five defense, the offense seems to be chugging along with Jones-Drew, but the receiving core just doesn't seem to be on par, and you got your quarterback. So I guess that was just my question is, you know, come draft time, are you going to start looking at new receivers?
Yep. Well, Jeff, I appreciate the call and drive safely as you go there. You know, Gene Smith and his staff do a tremendous job with the draft, and there is a process that has already begun with the draft and evaluating the players and ranking and stacking and things like that. At some point after the season, the coaches are brought into that mix in terms of you know, the combine, the Senior Bowl, things like that, and then and at the end of the day, you know, putting a coach grade on players, and that's offensive coaches, defensive coaches, and the head coach. And so that's where the coaching comes in, and then at the end of the day, then Gene makes a decision on what direction we go. So I'm supremely confident in Gene and his staff and what decisions will be made relative to team needs, offense, defense, special teams, and then what the mix will be, draft and free agency.
Well, and you don't have to look very far to see their approach to fixing it. You know, they had a defense that was 29th in the league in 2010, and here comes Posluszny and Session and Matt Roth into the equation, along with Drew Coleman and DeJuan Landry and Dwight Lowry. So, I mean, I think not that any of us know exactly what Gene's plan is, because it's not done yet, but I would imagine, Jeff, that you would see a similar approach to the offensive side of the ball, add playmakers everywhere that you can. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Saqib is with us from the South Side. Good evening. You're on with Mel Tucker. Hello. Saqib, are you there? 321. Call us back if you are so inclined. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. You know, a lot of questions this year about Mercedes. And everyone wants to point the finger, go, well, it's easy, he got paid. You know, I mean, that's what happens, guys get paid. It's not always that easy. Obviously, there was a couple-week holdout. There was no off-season program. Mercedes Lewis, what does he have to do to return to what you saw from him in 2010, which was a Pro Bowl, all-pro caliber tight end?
Well, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that Mercedes is a heck of a player.
And a high-character guy to boot.
He cares deeply about this team. He cares about his performance. And he'll be the first one to tell you that, you know, that he expects to play better than that. And so his preparation in this out-of-season, leading up into the next season, you know, he's going to do everything he can to make sure that he's ready to go, and physically and mentally. And, you know, I fully anticipate that he'll – he'll bounce back, build on some of the things that he did well this year, and then correct some things that he didn't do well, and then be ready to go. I mean, he is a competitor, great person, outstanding player, and he'll produce.
He had a couple of moments this year. I mean, but in 2010, I go to the touchdown in Dallas. You know that reaching touchdown. I think it was about 35 yards, where he's backwards and his hands way up behind his head, and he catches it, and he spins, and he leaps a defender. And I mean, that is Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates-esque. I mean, that's the kind of player he can be. And I think that's what his intention was when he went out to work out west with the mixed martial arts guys last year, was to get that extra edge. Do you think that these guys are better served working here in a program, or do you think that maybe some of that stuff is okay?
Well, I think, everything in moderation. I think the lockout, was a huge factor in throughout the NFL. In terms of guys' schedules, where you work out, who you work out with, things like that. I think this out of season will be much more normal, and I think these guys will do whatever it takes to make sure that they're ready. And I also think they'll be in tune to what their teams will be asking them to do and suggesting that they do. And so, and Mercedes will be no different. I mean, he'll get it done. He'll do what it takes.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Saqib has rejoined us now. Saqib, you're on with Mel Tucker. Good evening.
Hey, sorry about that, man. My phone dropped off.
No worries.
Hey, let me, Coach Tucker, I've been a fan for a long time. I watched this team since 1997. And to me, I do like Blaine, and I really want to be able to like this guy and prove that he's the guy for us. But I understand that wide receivers are not up to the standards that we want to have. We don't have a Jimmy Smith, let me put it this way. I mean, I was a big fan of Jimmy Smith growing up. I'm only 28, so growing up, loving, my best wide receiver ever. So what do you think? Why are these guys not having done, like Mike Thomas and Dillard and all these guys, haven't been able to catch some extra passes? Like Mercedes Lewis dropped a touchdown pass, a couple days ago. Why do you think they haven't been able to catch up with, help Blaine out more? Because to me, he needed more help from these guys, because him being a rookie and him coming late in July or whatever it was.
Saqib, I appreciate the call. With Blaine, we talked about here towards the end of the season that we have to get better around him. I think we see a lot of things that you're talking about is that, Blaine can make some throws, and he can put the ball there. He can deliver. He can throw in rhythm. He can make some plays and give our receivers a chance or give our tight ends a chance. And so those are the things that are positive about Blaine, and they'll continue to get better. And then obviously we've got to get better around them. We've said that. And I think everyone understands that. And whether it's catching the ball, running more precise routes, things like that, make sure that we do what we can do offensively. Whatever it is, it's got to improve. And so I don't think anyone on the offensive side of the ball is satisfied with the performance. And that's critical. And when you have guys that know, hey, listen, it wasn't good enough. We got to get better. But you have guys that are looking in the mirror and say, hey, this is what I can do to improve. Then you got something. I think that's what we have on this team.
Appreciate the phone call, Saqib. We're due for a break. We'll take it now. More to come with Mel Tucker here on the Jaguars Coaches Show, and you're listening on the Jaguars Radio Network.
We'll be there.
All right, rolling right along here on a Tuesday evening with head coach Mel Tucker. Let's try and grab a couple more calls. Gene is in Ocean Way, and Gene, we welcome you to the show.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Coach. Hey, Coach, I was I came and saw you at one of the coaches' things where the coaches came for the season ticket holders, and you talked to us, and then you answered all the questions, and then afterwards, I had a chance to talk to you, and I was really impressed by you, and I got to tell you, thank you so much as a longtime Jaguar season ticket holder since the start to finally being undefeated in 2012. I do appreciate the direction you're leading the guys, and I certainly wish you the best.
All right, Gene, thank you very much. nice to hear people show a little appreciation at the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. And Gene, I appreciate that call. And you know, we do appreciate our fans. We do appreciate all the support that we get. I did enjoy getting out in the out of season and talking ball with the fans and the season ticket holders and things like that. Anytime we get a chance to get out and promote the game of football and open it up a little bit more and give a little bit more behind the scenes look to what we do, I think that's huge. And so we were able to do that, and then obviously that had a huge effect, and we were able to show our appreciation and finish up with a win on Sunday.
Appreciate the phone call, Gene. 355 NFL. One familiar voice, Dave in St. Augustine. Hello, Dave.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. Happy holidays to you and yours from me and mine. Coach, I really just wanted to say that I certainly appreciate the effort that you put in, you know, since you've been here, especially this year. I think you've handled a tough situation with great professionalism and class, and I think that the way that you've handled things is certainly the way we want our Jaguars people doing things, and I think you're an asset to the organization, and so you know, whatever they decide to do moving forward, I hope they do keep you around in whatever capacity they see fit, and no matter what happens, I'll continue to be a Mel Tucker fan. So good luck. Go Jaguars. Appreciate it.
Dave, thanks for the call. I appreciate that. And you know, the Jaguars, it's a great organization. And you know, when you work with people here at Everbake, it's very inspiring. You want to do whatever you can to help the cause. And so that's what it's all about. We have a lot of good, smart, bright people here, competent, you know, good at what they do, you know, all pulling in the right direction and doing everything that they could possibly can do to produce a winner on the field. And so it's a lot of people involved, and I know decisions will be made here down the stretch, but it will all be for what's in the best interest of the Jaguars, and I'm all for that.
All right, appreciate the phone call. Let's grab one more before our break, and Aaron is up next from Mandarin. Hello, Aaron.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. Happy holidays to you. I really want to echo the sentiments of the last two callers. Mel, I called you on your first ever show and congratulated you, and I just want you to know that you have exceeded my expectations. The fire and desire that I see in your eyes is just wonderful, and the team really feeds off of that. This team does not know the meaning of the word quit. And I really do hope that you do have the opportunity to coach this team in the future, and I'm definitely in your corner. Best of luck to you.
Thanks, Aaron. I appreciate the call. And when you work with the guys like that I have the privilege of working with on a daily basis, players and coaches, it's easy to be fired up and be motivated because they give it to you back, you know. And so we have tremendous character in our locker room. Guys will not quit. Guys will play hard, and they will try to do what's right. And I think as we improve our execution here in Jacksonville, we'll win more games.
Appreciate the phone call. Time for a break. You're listening to the Jaguars Coaches Show with Mel Tucker on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Jaguars Coaches Show. Brian Sexton with Mel Tucker. Feel free. You can tweet it at Jags Voice, or you can call, and the phone lines are starting to fill up. Hey, give us an overall sense of your offensive line and how they finished the season. Clearly, from a run-blocking perspective, you have the league's leading rusher. They must have done a good job there. How about in pass protection?
I think we have a very good line. I think the line is not given as much credit as they have earned. Obviously, we can run the football.
Against anyone. I mean, when you can run against 8-9-man fronts like
that. Those guys can. We can run the ball. And I think we've improved in our pass protection. I think this line is going to be good for years to come as well. I mean, I think it's built the right way. It's athletic. We have tough guys. We have smart guys. And so, obviously, you know, I think that's something that we can build around.
It's tough for people to see and evaluate the offensive line, which is why Eugene Monroe got so much criticism. But, you know, when I talk to folks like you, guys on the coaching side, they all are quick to point out that Eugene played well. So my question to you is, how about Will Rackley? Made a position switch from tackle to guard, from Lehigh to the National Football League. Had moments where his fingers were all taped together, you know, fingers were dislocated, kept playing through it. So, you know, how'd Rack do, and where do you see him?
Rack did well. I think he competed. He stayed in there. He had a lot of bumps and bruises. He worked through them. He played through them. And he's got a tremendous amount of experience in there. I mean, that, he played a lot of football for us, and that's huge. And then he got a chance to block for one of the best, you know, backs in the league and one of the best backs Jacksonville or this league has ever seen. And so I think that was tremendous for him, and he's just going to take that experience and he's going to springboard him on to a great career, I believe.
Well, and here's why I think so highly of him. The night that you all played the Baltimore Ravens on Monday night, Haloti Ngata is, you know, one of the best defensive players at any position in the league. And we're talking a massive man with great power, speed, and quickness. I didn't call his name. I don't think he registered a tackle. And I know that it wasn't just Rackley who blocked him. But, you know, in that scheme, he blocked him most of the time. And so, you look at, well, you rise to the occasion. Monday Night Football, you're a rookie. That's maybe the best defensive lineman in the game. And he has a really poor game.
Well, you know, so often you talk about offensive linemen as being unsung heroes in the game of football. And so I think our line is that. I mean, these guys have done a great job. They work well together. They've gotten better as the season has gone on. And I think they're tough guys. And I think, you know, again, like you said, regardless of what type of front, you know, week in and week out, whoever we're playing, you know, guys are going to go in there, they're going to roll their sleeves up, and they're going to get the job done for us.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Let's take our next break. We'll come back. Phone lines are stacked, and we'll just get as many folks on the air as we can here in the last 14 minutes of the Jaguars Coaches Show. You're listening on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back. Brian Sexton along with Mel Tucker. And as promised, we go directly to the phones. Eric's been waiting on the west side for some time. And so, Eric, welcome to the show. You're on with Mel Tucker.
Hey, Brian. Hey, Coach. How are y'all?
Good.
Doing good.
All right. I'm going to, for a minute here, kind of echo the last few callers. Coach, you've done an amazing job just stepping in. And I think the policy that you put in with the players with next man up, you completely embodied that. From what Brian said with you tearing, what was it, your quad earlier this season and not really missing anything and then just stepping in and leading the team the way you did, I think that was an amazing job. And from all the interviews I've heard, all the players just seem to get motivated and feed off your energy. So congratulations, Coach, and I hope you stay with us, and I hope you get the job, Coach.
Eric, thanks for the call. I appreciate your support. We appreciate your support. The players, we feed off each other. I mean, you get a bunch of guys on a football team pulling in the same direction. Everyone wants to win. You know, everyone wants to do well. I mean, everyone has a tremendous amount of pride. And so, you know, as a coach, you know, you want to give that back, and you want to make sure that you match their passion and their energy. And so, you know, obviously, you know, I was able to step into a role and do what I think that I think I needed to do to help the team and lead and teach and motivate and develop. It was a tremendous opportunity for me, and I really enjoy working with these players in this way.
Appreciate the phone call, Eric. Let's go to Brian, who is in East Arlington. Hello, Brian. Welcome to the program.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Hey, Coach, I had a question for you. When you took over, the offense was ranked last in the NFL. Now, I was just curious, why did you kind of keep the conservative play calling going? Why weren't you a little more aggressive with vertical down the field? I mean, the offense was already last as it was, and the scheme that was already in place prior to you coming in wasn't working. And it kind of just kept the same. Is it more just you guys didn't have enough time to develop plays? Is it just the player personnel that was in there isn't able to accomplish the job, or you guys just weren't able to scheme with the players that you had in place?
Well, the major focus in my mind was to make sure that we were doing what our players could do well and then improve the execution and play a better brand of football. And so that did not equate to more explosive offense overall. But I do believe at the end of the day, there was improvement in various areas. We wanted to make sure that Blaine continued to improve. We wanted to make sure our offensive line continued to improve. We wanted to make sure we were able to run the ball effectively. And we wanted to make sure that our execution improved at the receiver position overall. And so, you know, all those things were things that we needed to get done in a short period of time. And I think that we were able to get those things done. Now, there's a lot of room to grow. There's a lot of work to be done on offense. There's a lot of work to be done on defense and special teams as well, in some areas more than others. But I thought we did what we could do to finish the season, and there's a lot to build on.
Appreciate the phone call, Brian. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Let's grab John on the north side, and then we'll take our final break of the evening. John, you're on with Mel Tucker. Good evening.
Hi. How you all doing? Hi, Coach.
Yeah. Hi, John. How you doing?
I just wanted to make a couple of comments. The first being about Blaine Gabbert and the tight end Mercedes. I'm thinking that, you know, it took a while for Mercedes to get to where he got with David Garrard as quarterback. And then the year that he did, you know, Garrard was gone. You know, the next year he's gone. So, you know, everybody's like, well, why is he, you know, why wasn't he this or why wasn't he that? Well, I think subtle changes like that can actually affect the way, you know, a player performs. And, you know, if the quarterback's not always looking at him, he's trying to learn everything else that he has to do, he's not going to always go to him, you know, or see him as the go-to guy like someone that he's played with 4 or 5 years.
Hey, John, I appreciate the call. You know, I know you're talking about being, you know, cohesiveness and things like that, rhythm, togetherness, chemistry and things like that. And that's very, very important in football, you know, offense, defense, and special teams. And as you work more together and guys get more on the same page and gain more confidence in each other, then you should see a better brand of football and you get more production overall. And I think that's what we're looking to do.
Appreciate the phone call, John. We're back to wrap up the show this evening right after this on Jaguars Radio. It's been a minute to wrap things up with the Coach Mel Tucker, and obviously you go forward from this point, and it's kind of a wait and see. Is it nervous anticipation, or is it just going about the process for you?
It's just going about the process, and there is a process in place, and I'll be a part of it, and I'm very, very confident that I'll have my opportunity to put my best foot forward, and that's all I can ask for.
You know, it's amazing, but there are so many people that, and I say it's amazing because, you know, normally when a coaching staff changes, people don't want holdover. You know, they're like, just clean the whole thing out, do something completely different. But the volume of calls and tweets and text messages and emails in support of you, Coach, speaks volumes for what you've been able to accomplish here in 5 weeks on short notice, with 31 players on injured reserve. And, you know, from Joe and I, we've been extremely impressed with your participation in this show.
No, I appreciate the support from everyone, and I really enjoy working with you all here, and look forward to maybe doing it again one day soon.
You bet. Well, we're here next week. If you still are and you want to stick your head in, we'd love to have you.
Excellent. Let's do it.
There you go, Coach Mel Tucker, Jaguars Coaches Show this 2 more weeks, next Tuesday and the week after, and then we'll wrap it for the season. All right, everybody, have a great night.
This has been the Jaguars Coaches Show. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk with Jaguars head coach, Mel Tucker. The Jaguars Coaches Show is a presentation of the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.